Folks, you can support the hardest working sports talk show in South Florida through Cash App or Venmo. Just search Cash Big O Show. Support us through Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. We thank you for your incredible support. All righty, we promised you that Lisa Johnson would be kind enough to join us from Our Turf Football. And if you want to follow it on Twitter, it's Our Turf FB. Check it out there on Twitter. You can check out all the articles across the country. Many ladies covering the great sport of football. Lisa for the website covers our Miami Dolphins. Lisa, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you? A little nervous about this weekend, I have to admit. I'll tell you.
I'm actually a little more confident this week than I would have been at the beginning of the season, because they kind of looked a little more human last week against Pittsburgh. The only thing, Lisa, is the natural pass rush that Pittsburgh can generate is something that Miami has not proven that they can generate. Ogba, I thought, was pretty damn good last week, but he really needs somebody opposite of him to really get after this guy. And I wonder with Phillips this week, I thought Pupar had a really good idea, is just unleash him. Don't worry. Don't have him drop back. Don't have him worry about the run. Just worry about Josh Allen and get after him. And I think that's the key now. How does Miami generate that pass rush against Josh Allen?
And I think that's exactly what you said. It's like you're going to have to really get after him, because, you know, he kills us. He kills us the last couple of games we've played. But what was so impressive about Pittsburgh is they put pass rush on him with like four linemen coming. So it's, you know, and that's certainly not the Dolphins style, as you said. You know, we need to work on getting some pressure on him, and we need to keep him in front of us. And one of the things that I thought Pittsburgh did great with is they kept everything in front of them. And, you know, when you put Allen in a like, say, they kept him, got him behind the sticks. I mean, they were always in a 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, which is great. You want to get him behind the sticks. Because let's face it, Josh Allen in the shotgun, you're a 3rd and 8. He's 4 yards taking the ball. So technically that's almost like a 4th. That's a 3rd and 12 technically, because he's catching the ball 4 yards back from the line of scrimmage, where, you know, he got out a couple times, but he only scrambled for 8 yards. That's 3 yards shy of the first down, and they're off the field.
Right.
I thought they did a great job. Tackling is going to be a must. You got to tackle this guy. You know, he's a big guy, and the Dolphins have had they'll get him, but they can't get him wrapped up to the ground. They're going to have to make sure their tackling is on point.
I think one of the things that I would love to see is also the running game working for the Miami Dolphins, because if you can keep possession and stretch out some of these possessions and keep that defense on the field as much as possible in the second half, that heat, that humidity will get to Buffalo, because they're not used to being in the heat and humidity. And then now you can really start to maybe open it up and loosen it up a little bit more on these guys. I think that's going to be the other key. You want to give Josh Allen less opportunities of trying to catch, trying to put up points, and at the same time, the way to do that, yeah, you want to pressure him, you want to get him off the field, but I think running the football is going to be an enormous key in this game.
And we had some success last week doing that, so they just need to, you know, build off of that. You know, Coach Flo preached that, you know, all this week in his pressers, is, you know, we have to execute. We have to win our matchups. And that is huge when you play Buffalo. You have to win the matchups. You know, you have to make sure you keep everything in front of you. You have to make sure you don't give up big plays. Because like you said, you want to be there in the fourth quarter. Just give us a shot in the fourth quarter to be there, to give us a chance to win the game. You know, and I think that's going to be huge to stop that. And like you said, make them play the full game. Make them play 60 minutes of football in this heat. And I think if the Dolphins can take them to the fourth quarter, give us a chance, and if we can hold the lead, how many times, like last week with the Patriots, did you notice we actually kept the ball and ran the clock out?
Right.
I was like, that was amazing. I loved how aggressive he was, and shows you how I think he's starting to gain a little confidence with Tua to do this. This is what the kid's learning how to do. We've got to keep the ball. And that was a fantastic finish with New England. How many times have we done that, been able to run the clock out?
Yeah. No, I mean, under Flores, they've won twice already there in five trips. That's or three trips there, actually, and they've won twice, which is amazing. And he's 3-2 against him. So I've been really impressed. By the way, you can follow Lisa on Twitter at LJ1303. I know you can see it on YouTube, but obviously if you're listening on the podcast, LJ1303. And, of course, go to Our Turf FB on Twitter also. You can follow all of them there on Our Turf FB. Lisa, your thoughts on Tua's play last week?
I thought he did okay. I mean, he's still so raw. I think so many people came out of the gate just expecting so much from him. And, you know, he's young. He's learning. Every single game, I just want to see growth. Oh, I just want to see the kid, you know, every single game have a light bulb go off. Have that one series where he kind of takes control. And like I said, he's still real young. It's going to take some time. We just got to have patience. And look, I'm guilty of it. I got hung up last week with it. Unfortunately, I had to listen to some of it on the radio. And when they brought Brissett in, the commentators on satellite radios that I was listening to was like, oh, that's it. You know, Brissett's in the game. And I'm like, what? I had that knee-jerk reaction. I'll admit it. You know, I was like, oh, my God, is that it? Did he give up on him? So, you know, like I said, I have to calm myself down because I catch myself getting caught up in some of the, you know, we want him to be elite now talk. So I've got myself a little calmed down. I'm going to get kid. You know, technically, this is a kid's rookie year to me. Last year, it was just kind of a wash to me.
It's still his rookie year because that was his 10th game. So we're not talking
about
a kid that's played a lot of football yet at this point. He hasn't even played a complete season. He needs to play a couple of seasons to see the division a couple of times, see teams over and over again, start to learn their habits, start to learn the difference between one defensive coordinator and another defensive scheme, and the habits of each of those coaches. All of those things take time. You just don't learn them right away, and that's why we have this microwave society that wants immediate results, and it's nice to get immediate results. I get it, man.
It is.
We experienced it with Marino coming off the bench
right,
a long time ago, but that's rare. Those kind of dudes are just absolutely rare. And even Marino didn't start either, actually. So it took him a few games till they actually gave him the opportunity. But it's just, you know, we have very little patience here, and I definitely understand that. I talked about this yesterday on the show, and while I know that a lot of people are unhappy with Noah Igbinoghamy, I also have to remind people that, and I'm wondering how you feel about this, because it's kind of a catch-22. Yeah, you can be frustrated with them, and you should be if you want, but there's also a flip side. The kid doesn't play. So if he doesn't play because he's got three people in front of him that are pretty damn good and they don't use him, it's hard for him to get playing time right now to ever get better. You cannot get better on the bench. There's no way. And so last year he got a little playing time because of the Jones injury. But outside of that, he just hasn't really had time to develop. And that's kind of been the catch-22. We could get pissed at him, but maybe, or we could get frustrated at the whole situation. But really, the kid is not getting enough time to actually develop to, you know, fix those damn skills.
Well, and that's the thing, and that goes back to Flo saying the matchups. He's going to play the guys that give him the best matchup of their skill sets you're seeing. He sees Buffalo on tape. They see him in practice. We don't. We're not involved in the coaches' conversations. So I honestly think if Coach Flo says, you know what, this week he had a tremendous week of practice, I think he'll match up good with, say, a Coles. I don't know about Stephon Diggs. You know, like I said, this is going to have to be your A-game defensive backs here. And if Flo is like, you know what, I'm still on the fence, I just don't think he's ready yet, Flo's going to take that roster spot and put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's going to make a difference. And I think that's what he does every week. Just because you see, like he said in his pressers, just because you see one set one week doesn't mean you're going to see it the next week.
Yeah,
because that's what this game's about. You have to put players in position to win the football game.
Yeah,
and he takes his coaches into account. And if he thinks that he's ready, he'll put him in. I have no doubt. So I think his time's coming. I definitely think you're going to see him. I just don't know if you're going to see him against this Buffalo Bills team.
No, yeah, I think he might get some piecemeal stuff throughout the year, but it might be another year before they put him out on the field. And then, then the real bitch is that you're not going to get a ton of time to actually assess whether he's made progress or not, because let's say he gets way more playing time next year. Well, now you're in year three. So now the window's a lot shorter to figure out whether you made a good pick or not. And then the other thing that you have to think about is the front office going, maybe we drafted too many corners, you know, because Nick Needham turned out Nick Needham turned out to be a pretty good player, and he doesn't really play the slot. So if Noah can't and he's not supposed to knock out Jones or X, that would be a really bad look if he knocks out Jones or X. So it's like they're sitting there going, man, how do we get this kid better if we can't get him on the field? So the whole Noah thing is so frustrating. I'm sure it's frustrating for him. I'm sure it's frustrating for the coaches, the front office, and fans. You know what I mean? It's just – it's one of those situations that's kind of unsatisfying for all, and none of us really have the answer on how you really can get the best out of the kid when people in front of him are already playing, man. It's a tough one. All right. The passing game this week against the Bills.
Yes.
How much better do you think it gets now with Will Fuller in the mix? Because Albert Wilson played and had there was one chance with him and Tua trying to connect, but overall did not have the impact. So I think they're hoping Fuller it becomes a real difference maker this week.
Yeah, and the only concern is, you know, he hasn't practiced much. So, you know, how much of is that going to affect coach's flow decision with him? How is that going to impact the game plan? You know, because you have to game plan, and he hasn't been practicing much. So to me, it's like, how much action will he see? Albert Wilson, we all talked about it. I actually heard you guys talking about it too. He was a monster in training camp. Didn't kind of show up last week. But who's, you know, is that the game plan that they just had against the Patriots? To me, the key in this passing game is we got to get these tight ends involved this Sunday. They have to get involved. We need to see Gesicki. We need to, and I think Sheehan's coming back. So I think that's going to be more. I honestly think he's going to make a much more impact than Fuller will. So I'm looking for more of the tight end to be a huge factor this Sunday than I am Fuller. I think Fuller will be a nice little maybe disguise to put some things in, but. You know, I just don't know how much of an impact. I think Sheehan coming back is going to be a much improved offense with him in the lineup.
I'm glad you brought that up, Lisa. That's a great call on your part, because I've been kind of on this trip from the beginning that when they drafted Hunter Long, that tells me that their vision is to have two tight ends and kind of make life easier for their quarterback, kind of like when New England's trying to do the same thing. And I don't think that the secondary of the Bills is this incredible secondary. And I think with the safeties, I think you'll be able to actually take advantage. And I'm with you. I think the Shaheen addition, he was showing great chemistry already with Tua as it is. And because Gesicki gets so much attention, because Jalen Waddle's going to get a lot of attention after they watch the New England film, I think that's going to open it up for Shaheen. It's going to open it up for Parker, and maybe even a little Fuller too at the same time. I thought Parker looked he looked healthy. He looked spry.
Yes.
He looked explosive this past week. And so all of a sudden Parker becomes kind of the forgotten guy. Shaheen comes in as the under the radar guy. And then you add Fuller. I think as a secondary right now, the Bills have to be concerned about how they're going to defend that Dolphin passing game. And I'm with you. I think the two tight end set is going to become a real factor this week. I like it.
Yeah, and if you can add getting a little bit of a running game to have a little bit of a play action, that'll be the game changer. I mean, if you can get this running game a little bit better than it was in the Patriots, get some lanes open that pass action, play action, you're going to see it. You're going to see us hold that ball. Time of possession should be huge. We didn't have very good time of possession last week.
No.
Even though we came out with the win, time of possession is a little concerning because you want to extend drives. You want to, you know, keep our defense fresh. You want to keep Josh Allen off the field. So, you know, like I said, the tight end play to me, what we just talked about, is going to be the factor, I think, that can really help us out.
And the other thing that I thought about, and I think they're going to unleash it at one point, maybe this is the week where they do it, Salvon Ahmed has already shown a real gift of catching the ball and becoming a difference maker in that area. I think eventually you're going to see some kind of a wheel route, something with Ahmed involved, and he's going to help out in the passing game and be a real threat for them. That's the other thing. I don't think we've seen the, you know, it's not like, obviously, one game you're not going to see the whole playbook, but I think there's more diversity to the offense now than they had in the last 2 years, and it's just a matter of it evolving and us watching it, you know, develop. I don't think we saw everything last week. I think we'll see a little bit more with some of the additions this week. And now Godsey and Studsville can actually – now they have all their cards there that they can use. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the difference.
Right. And one thing, too, I was going to comment off of was – I didn't hear too much of the conversation with you guys, but I'd love to get your intake on them getting cute with bringing Jacoby Brissett in for that quarterback sneak. I'll tell you right now, I am not a fan because I am all about momentum. If the momentum's good, we're on a drive, we come up to a third and one, call the play. Let's keep going. I hate the fact of stopping the play, bringing the personnel in for Jacoby. You got a different cadence. You know, one huge stop can just totally change the momentum. I am not a fan of that.
I understand that, but because after I watched Pat Mahomes get injured on a quarterback sneak, and because he's not a 6'4 guy in Tua, I had no problem with that play. Now, okay, the way I would have run that play is, you know, it's third and short. Brissett has to, you know, hey, it's second and long. Hey, if we're in third and short, Jacoby, be ready to run in for it. And what I would have done is immediately I would have had Tua ready that once Brissett is diving in, his ass is running out onto the field and continuing the flow.
See, that's what,
the momentum.
It seemed like it just was so slow.
Yes.
It seemed like it was just took so much time to develop of who was going to be where. And, it drives me crazy. It's like, you got the momentum. Let's go.
And I thought what really killed the momentum was the second down that they kept Jacoby in. And I don't know if they were trying to, because you talked about cadence. I don't know if they were trying to draw them off sides. I don't know what they saw in the game plan that after short yardage, if you keep them on the field, there's the personnel that they're going to have. We can take advantage of certain things. But I'm with you. I would have got him off the field because you had just completed the big pass to Jalen Waddle. You had all the momentum. Everything was moving. I think you could have done the switch really quick and keep momentum going.
Quickly, keep it going.
And I have no problem using a 6'4 body over a six foot and a half, you know, body for the quarterback sneak. I was impressed with that because I never thought of that. I thought that was actually a really good thing. But I'm with you on the momentum. You have to be better prepared, and you got to get Tua back in there. I don't care what kind of gimmick you saw, dude. You're playing the Patriots.
Right.
You're not, you know, you do it the right way. I'm with you there. So what's what's the prediction, Lisa?
I think if we can stay with them, make them play a complete game, give us a chance at the end of the game, and I'll tell you right now, I see a special teams play coming up that could win the game in the fourth quarter.
Ooh, Jakeem Grant, huh? There you go, my boy.
Yep, I'm seeing special teams. I'm feeling special teams. We just got to stay with them. We got to give our chance. We got to give ourselves that chance in the fourth quarter to pull it out. Either long field goal or run back. I mean, I'm feeling a special teams play coming. That's right. Going to be the difference in this game.
All right, what are you working on the site so folks can check you out?
Well, of course, right now I'm working on the Buffalo game plan this week. I'm doing a couple radio shows with some Buffalo Bills fans.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that. But I got some articles coming out. You know, I'll be at the game Sunday. So definitely, you know, please follow along. You know, I love talking to people. So
I'm just looking forward to Buffalo and getting some things out on it.
You got it. There you go. Thank you, Lisa. As always, follow her on Twitter, LJ1303, and the site is Our Turf Football. Check it out, OurTurfFootball.com. Lisa, thank you as always. You're awesome.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You got it. There you go, Lisa Johnson. Good stuff there as always. Appreciate Lisa right here on the Big O Radio Show.